This week on Making Contact.
Our shows come from burning issues.
I'm a singer. I sing to make people fighting because I'm a fighter.
Women are gaining influence as leaders throughout the world, fighting for peace, justice, the environment, and civil society. In this program, we profile four artist activists. Velina Brown is a leading actor with the legendary San Francisco Mime Troupe. So-on is Haiti's beloved folk singer and political rights activist. Jayshree Abichandani is an artist and curator with the South Asian Women's Creative Collective. And Rutendo Mutsamiri of Zimbabwe teams with the International Museum of Women to create the Imagining Ourselves online art exhibit. I'm Sandina Robbins, your host this week on Making Contact. This program is a special collaboration with the Women Rising radio series.
I'm here to give props to the soldiers who proudly represent the red, white, and blue. If you want to be American through and through, you got to do what your country tells you to do. Now, I'm not shaking this booty just for the applause. I'm getting down and dirty to support the cause of spreading freedom and liberty everywhere. Yes, that's the higher calling of this derriere. And that's my duty to shake this booty. Hold your hands up if you want to salute me. It's my duty to shake this booty. Holla freedom if you love me, absolutely. I hear a lot of talk about these liberal groups who oppose the war and don't support the troops. Well, we all must play a part to get this victory won. Some carry guns and some shake their buns to all the armies.
That's Velina Brown portraying the character of Fantasy O'Doul, entertainer to the U.S. troops in Iraq, from the San Francisco Mime Troupe's political satire called Making a Killing. For the past 15 years, Velina has been an actor with the Mime Troupe. Velina says that her life with the Mime Troupe allows her to say what she believes and do what she loves.
When I was a kid, the first time I saw a play, my dad was in it. He was playing Nicely, Nicely Johnson in Guys and Dolls in the little theater on Post in Alabama. And it was great. It was a great production. And I was like, I want to do this, I whispered to my mom. My dad was a career Army officer and served a year in Vietnam. During that year, I integrated a school. So I had that exciting experience on top of the war thing, which was really hard, in a little town called Anniston, Alabama. And going to the school was like people staring at you and pointing at you. And that was the first time that I had ever been called a nigger, and with a teacher looking on and not admonishing the kids, not telling them that's not okay. I don't know if that specific experience of Sachs Elementary School in Anniston, Alabama really is why I'm an actor. But what I do know is that there is sort of a disproportionate percentage of people who come from Army or military backgrounds or backgrounds where they had to move a lot who end up being actors. And my hypothesis is that you're having to jump into new situations, adapt, adjust, learn new cultures very quickly. And so the work of an actor really utilizes that background very well. In order to do a variety of characters justice, you have to kind of step into different people's shoes and perspectives to give their character a fair playing.
The San Francisco Mime Troupe has offered Velina plenty of opportunity to make quick changes and to give her characters a fair play, because Mime Troupe actors typically portray a number of characters in each play.
I play four characters. I play Fantasy O'Doul, who is a pop star diva who's got some issues of her own. She's on her way to Betty Ford, but she's making a stop over in Iraq for the USO. And then I'm also playing a soldier who's a mom and is struggling with that unfairness that's happening. I mean, that's really pulled from the newspaper too, about women who are serving, who are losing custody of their children because their tours of duty keep getting extended. So their kids are taken from them, right when they're making these huge sacrifices to protect and defend their country. Then I'm playing a newscaster who is just so excited to get these feel-good stories from Iraq. Basically, whatever the White House generates, a press release or something. And then I'm playing Condoleezza Rice. I'm really very fascinated by Condoleezza Rice. I have a folder where I'm collecting different articles and pieces about her. And I tried to do more in-depth research on her. She's very mysterious in some ways. She's got this bearing and just that precocious 15-year-old, just the smarty pants. I'm just the smartest person in the room and you're all dumb and I'm just going to explain things to you in this very strict little schoolmarmy way. And it's not working. People don't want to see her. She flies halfway around the world and they refuse to talk to her. So that's effective.
Listen to Velina as Condoleezza Rice with mime troupe actor Ed Helms playing the role of Vice President Dick Cheney.
Dick, it's time to face facts. America will never like you.
Huh?
Ever. You're pulling the rest of us down. So unless you can somehow boost your positives, for the good of the rest of us, for the good of the party, I'm afraid it's time for you to retire to your undisclosed location.
But for how long?
For good.
But Condi.
Goodbye, Dick. We'll always have 9/11.
The troupe was started in 1959. We are looking at our 50th anniversary coming up in 09. And that's quite a mile marker. Not that many companies make it that long. We play to about 40,000 people a season. Our audience is the envy of a lot of theater companies because we do have little kids to old people and everybody in between. And we do have the diversity and on different levels, racial and cultural. And there's a certain percentage of people who are new that friends say, you've got to come and see the mime troupe. You're visiting from Kansas, whatever. You're coming with me July 4th in Dolores Park and have this experience. I actually had this conversation with this little boy. He was from New York and he was saying, do you ever play New York? And I'm like, yeah, well, yes, we have. We'd like to come back again. He was like, I'm going to look into it for you. And it's like, right on. You look into it for us. We want to come back. And people from other countries. And they say, you know what? I didn't know that everybody in this country wasn't like George Bush. What I'm hearing from him is what I thought you all thought. So in that sense, we're ambassadors, I would say. We're not all. We're number one. And if you don't agree with us, we're going to bomb your ass. I feel if everybody thinks that I'm like George Bush, then that's where I start to feel unsafe. I feel like it puts a great big target on our chest. Our shows come from burning issues. And the whole support the troops thing was really getting to me because it suggests that if you're questioning this action, that that means you're not supportive of the people who are being sent over and their families. And it's not true, but that's being drummed up by the administration at the same time that the administration, where the rubber meets the road, is not supporting the troops. They're over there with not the right equipment. They've contracted out all of these jobs that used to be handled by the military. Now they're privatized so that Kellogg Brown and Root is supposed to provide clean water, and then they're not. When they come back, the services are not there for them. This is not supportive of the troops.
Velina Brown's passionate opposition to the Iraq War plays off with the ideas of the other actors in the mime troupe in a multi-layered and biting satire written by her husband and fellow mime troupe actor Michael Gene Sullivan. The play, Making a Killing, peels off the lies and hypocrisies of U.S. military policy to reveal the appalling truth underneath.
We've been very consistently critiquing this administration and the press in different ways for years, but this is a more head-on conversation about the war in a way that we haven't really done. There's something about this that is going to the core of just what it's all about, Alfie. You know, what is our job on the planet? We've got to sort it out before it's too late. And telling each other to shut up when we're asking really important questions is not the way to get to our answers that we need.
You're listening to the voice and music of Annette Auguste, better known as Soan. Soan is well-loved throughout Haiti as a powerful singer for social justice and as an activist for the rights of the Haitian people.
I'm a singer since I was born. When I was 7 years old, they used to have a church. My house was near that church. When I hear people singing, oh, I will always sing with them. But you know something, when you're a kid, your parents don't want you to interfere on those things, you know. But I always sneak and go over there and sing with those people. I sing all over the world. I sing at Cuba, I sing in China, I sing everywhere. I sing, the soul is my singing. The struggle for poor people, that's my way. That's the way I sing. I don't sing like to make money. It's not my way. I sing to make people happy, to make people, you know, feel what they have to do, what they have to say, to make people fighting, because I'm a fighter. When I sing, the people who hear me feel something. It's not the same thing as a politician who's talking about blah, blah, blah every day, because they say the same thing everywhere, every day. But when you sing with heart, with mind, and with soul. They hear you. They understand what you say. The politician, when they talk, they don't feel nothing. But when you sing, they feel something. My work is helping. So many people who knew me, who knew about Soan, they come to me and ask me what I can do for them. If you want to go to work, I go somewhere and ask for work for you. If you want to go to the hospital, you don't have any money, I go somewhere and ask for you. If you don't have no food to eat, forget about it. I will go everywhere to get food for you. I'm a social worker. I work socially because so many people come to me. That's why I got my group. The name is MOFAVA, Mouvement Femmes pour Avancement Haïti. We work together.
In addition to heading the women's movement to give Haiti a voice, the Mouvement des Femmes pour Avancement Haïti, Soan has been a political activist all her life. From her early years protesting the brutal Duvalier dictatorship to working towards a democratic government in her homeland. Known as a passionate advocate for President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, Soan was attacked and arrested by U.S. Marines after the United States forced out the popularly elected Haitian president.
Aristide is a Democrat. You can talk to him about everything. He's always there for you. He's always there for the people. Everybody asked for Aristide to come back because Aristide was a president. He used to be the first one who called all the poor people, the beggar, to come to the palace and eat with them, because he said those people, the palace is for them. If you are president, you're president for everyone. You're not president of big shot people like that. But those people, the poor people, the beggar, the palace is for them too. So Aristide is the best. That's it. We like him. The establishment of USA doesn't like that. And they overthrow Aristide. But it's not the people of Aristide who asked to overthrow Aristide. It's La France, Le Canada, and les Américains. They arrest me because of Aristide. Because if I'm not behind bars, somebody think could be happening. They come to my house, they put me behind bars. Could you imagine? When I talk to them too, I say, you are the Al-Qaeda. You are the one, because you come to my house with grenade and things like that. You kill my dogs, 15 people who are sleeping. At 1 o'clock in the morning, you arrest everybody. Could you believe one thing like that? So when I come to the jail, I went to every home of the ladies. I asked, who knows how to read and write? Okay, put your hand up. Hands up. I take the names everywhere. And I buy my blackboard, my charcoal, and everything, book and pens and everything. I got a school in the prison. All the women who come will make a cross when they come. When they get out, they write their name. And I show them how to sew, how to make a crochet. But I was so happy to go to that prison because I make a lot of friends. That's why you arrest me. Because of arrested, because of my conviction. But you can kill what I got in my mind. My ideology and my soul, everything I got for my people, they could kill me, but you can kill my soul.
We'll return to Women Rising in a moment. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. Today's program is a special collaboration with the Women Rising radio series, a project of Crown Safira Productions. If you'd like more information or for cassette or CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit us on the web at radioproject.org. You've been listening to Audio Art by Jayshree Abhichandani. Born in Bombay and now based in New York, Jayshree is a visual and multimedia artist who has presented her works around the world. 10 years ago, Jayshree pioneered the South Asian Women's Creative Collective as a way to network and collaborate with other South Asian women in the arts.
I think that the first moment that I had where I fell in love with art was probably when I was 8. I lived in a very small town in India, which was very close to these 4th century BC Buddhist caves. So art students would come through from time to time from different parts of India to paint and draw the caves and look at them and kind of get acquainted with ancient Indian art history. And we had 2 students staying in my home, and one of them had done a painting of this temple called Ellora, which is basically a monolithic temple that's been carved out of a mountain. And there was something that just caught me immediately about the fact that she had represented this really beautiful place. And a lot of art in India is still to do with religion and ritual, the spiritual, which is, I think, fairly different from where art has moved to here. I have to say that spirituality does enter my work all the time. And it can be through paintings or sound pieces or videos. But it's so much part of who I am because that's where I grew up. I think that it's particular in my work, as in I examine the natural, the unnatural, and the supernatural, and all 3 elements and how they work in our lives.
While weaving together the natural, the supernatural, and the unnatural, Jayshree has also been balancing the high-powered modernism of New York with the age-old traditions of South Asia ever since she arrived in the United States.
I had found a fairly small South Asian activist scene in New York in about 1993. I had gotten in touch with about 40 women and unveiled this idea of the South Asian Women's Creative Collective. We have a listserv, which currently has over 1,000 women on it, and it provides a really great community resource for artists and activists and community workers. And we do public events such as Sultana's Dream, our 10th anniversary exhibition at Exit Art. It's an exhibition of 22 collaborative projects by women artists from South Asia and the Middle East. And it was really well attended, about 700 or 800 audience members who came out to support the work that Saucy has done for the last 10 years. Sultana's Dream is actually the name of a story that was written by a woman by the name of Rokeya Sakhawat Hussain in 1905. It's a science fiction story that imagines a woman who is regularly in Parda, and in her dream, she lives in this feminist utopia where women are the rulers and men are the subjugated beings. And it's a land free of violence, and it's a land of virtue. And we thought that it would be a really appropriate title, because actually the real nature of Saucy is in the relationships that women build with each other. And the fact that for 10 years that women have been really working with each other and influencing each other, being each other's muses and creating a lot of really amazing work together. And that included the collaboration between Shazia Sikandar, who's a visual artist, and Sharmila Desai, who's a performer and a dancer. And Shazia is Pakistani, Sharmila is Indian, and Shazia created a visual drawing, painting piece that goes on the floor, and Sharmila performs on the piece, and there is synergy between her movements and the image that she's performing on. Another very interesting project is called Address, which is a collaboration between Indian-born artist Sonali Sridhar and Palestinian artist Muna Andros. And they have created a necklace with a little digital counter on it. And the necklace sits next to a laptop in which you can type in your coordinates for home anywhere in the world that you may designate that to be. And the necklace will tell you how far you are from home at that given point. So there are costumes and sound pieces and collaborations between dancers and musicians and visual artists with each other and participatory projects. So it's a very rich, diverse range of media and technique that women are using. And really just the products of these collaborations are exquisite. In my personal work, in my artwork, previously I felt that my work was a space for poetry and artistic expression. And the activist work I did manifested itself through curating exhibitions or events or creating happenings or performances. But at this point, everything that I make has become that activist work. A performance piece that I put on at PS1 MoMA for the 4th anniversary of the Iraq War, where I bowed basically once for each Iraqi casualty and each American casualty. And I did that for about 4 hours, where I had volunteers from the audience who came up and took turns reading off the names of the casualties on both sides. And that point is reiterated in my work through a video that I have done that's in Sultana's Dream, which is called Interview with a Reluctant Veteran. And that video is an interview with Anuradha Bhagwati, who served in the United States Marine Corps for 5 years as an officer. There's a line in the video that I just can't get out of my mind, where she says, regardless of their religious beliefs or their political affiliations, there's something that happens to the soul of every soldier.
Zimbabwean writer and filmmaker Rutendo Muzamiri established the Arts Paradise Trust to help other artists in Zimbabwe manage their careers. Rutendo is passionate about the arts, believing they're the backbone of all societies.
What makes you an activist in the arts? Basically, it's inspired and motivated by my desire to see change. I don't want to see depressed faces in my community. I don't want to see depressed faces in my society. And I don't want to see young people without vision, young people without hope. So I decided to express my art through enabling other artists to be who they are supposed to be in the society and let their impact be felt. These are people who are trying to redefine the society. These are people who are trying to shape the society through their art because they are the voice of the society themselves. I can say that they are the mirror of the society because of the impact, the influence that they have. So I decided to work for an organization in Zimbabwe for Women Filmmakers of Zimbabwe. And I started working there and I started interacting with so many artists. And after working with Women Filmmakers of Zimbabwe, I got in touch with the International Museum for Women. And the International Museum for Women has given me a platform to really work with artists all over the world. I realized that my potential was much more than just working in Zimbabwe, much more than working in Africa. So now I'm working with artists all over the world. I have worked on the International Museum for Women project called Imagining Ourselves. And this is a project being carried out in now 207 countries. And I happen to be the country coordinator for the Imagining Ourselves in Zimbabwe. They've got this online exhibit. The whole project is to create platforms for the young women to realize their potential and to see how best they can be who they're supposed to be. And we're inviting young women from all over the world to submit their art expressions on the website and also encourage them to have gatherings in their own communities and talk about these things and invite people who they think are powerful in their own communities. Besides the art for change, I make documentaries. And I also spend most of my time writing. It's more than an art for me. It has been a calling because I realize that whatever I write down happens. So I think I write prophetically. I didn't realize when I was 17 that I was writing about my future 5 years later. There were certain things that I was writing at 17 and they're all happening now. And I'm shocked because they're happening even more. So I really love writing and I write the moment I feel like writing.
In addition to being a 22-year-old postmodern griot, Rutendo envisions starting an Institute of Arts Management to train ethical arts managers who will compensate artists fairly in Zimbabwe instead of exploiting artists' skills and leaving them poor. That's it for this Women's Desk edition of Making Contact. These profiles of international changemakers were co-produced with Lynn Feinerman's Women Rising radio series, a project of Crown Safira Productions. You can learn more about the work of these courageous women at radioproject.org. If you'd like to order a CD of this program, our toll-free number is 800-529-5736. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. Additional audio, courtesy of the San Francisco mime troupe Valina Brown, Soan, Jayshree Abichandani, and Stella Chiweshe. Stephanie Welch is production engineer, Lisa Rudman, executive director, Peggy Law is our founding director, senior producer, Tina Rubio, intern, Samson Rainey and Joaquin Palomino, volunteers, Dan Turner and Ron Rucker, and I'm your host, Sandina Robbins.